This is Beth. I'm going to check in here for just long enough to see whether we've got enough people to get started. Given that I've been here a few minutes, I'm going to go ahead and run through the roll call just to see who we have present. So, Fred Blair, Jim Dingaman, Bruce Grief, right?
Here.
Both of you, thank you. Rosalie Hoffman?
Here.
Hi, thanks for coming. Eric Jacobson? I don't hear Eric. Steve Kaiser?
Here, I'm here.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for coming. Kim Kaufman?
I'm here.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for coming. Jonathan Markowitz? I don't hear Jonathan. Maybe he'll be here later. Dan McCrory?
Here.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. James Sagerton? I don't hear James. Maybe he'll be along later. Maybe he's muted. Nancy Sorden? I don't hear Nancy. Ruth Strauss? I don't hear Ruth. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Hi, thanks for coming. Welcome. Michael Novick?
Here.
Hi, Michael, thank you.
One moment, please.
Stuart Landau? I don't hear Stuart. Duke Cohen Johnson? I don't hear Sue. Are there others here who would like to be acknowledged as present? I don't hear anyone else at the moment, but if others show up, please feel free to...
Who was speaking before you took roll?
That's a good question. Anyone, I don't recognize the voice, and anyone's welcome to attend and to identify themselves, but it's not required. Is there anybody else who wants to be acknowledged as present? Recognized? If not, that's okay too. I'm marking the... here a bit. So that there are enough to get started with agenda review and approval. Number one is call to order and roll call, doing that. Approval agenda, an update from Executive Director Stephanie Wells, question and answers, then updates and discussion from around the network. Announce the next number five is announce the next meeting for June 26th. And number six would be to adjourn at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Go ahead.
This is Kim. Can I be recognized?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I would like to add an agenda item, and that is for this group to define what its task is that they are doing and how they are going to accomplish whatever tasks this task force has, you know, decided to pursue.
I can add that. I'll put that down as item number five after the updates from around the rest of the network and before we announce the next meeting and adjourn. To kind of prime that pump, get ready for that discussion. the mandate of the National Development Task Force is to assist the management of Pacifica Foundation in raising funds and increasing membership and report back to the PNB as to its progress. Membership in this task force is voluntary and open to anyone who wishes to contribute to it, as per the PNB resolution of April 3rd, 2020. And if you want to discuss that when we get to that item, we can do that.
Yeah, because we're not really doing that.
Well, that would be a matter of discussion under that item, so I'm adding it as item number 6.
I would like it to be a little up, you know, up further before we just have a general discussion, because we're not actually pursuing any particular tasks. So it would be nice to have a, you know, a coherent purpose for this meeting rather than just a general chit-chat. That's where I'm kind of going.
Well, given that you're introducing the item in the meeting and didn't send it ahead of time, I guess the normal place for that would be new business, and that's after all the other business. So I was going to get us through.
Sure, unless people want to have a discussion earlier. It's up to the body. But I get it, you know, either way. I'm just saying my preference would be that it should come earlier, and if there's no other agreement, then we'll do it later.
Yeah, I agree with Kim. I think it's an important thing that we've not really talked about. Certainly not enough.
So where do you propose that we put it on the agenda?
How about third point?
Ahead of Stephanie's report, or her update and discussion?
How about after Stephanie's report?
Okay. As item number 4?
Sounds good.
Is there any discussion of that? Is there any opposition to that? Then we'll put it down as item number 4.
Oh, do you see this letter?
Yes. I need to make note of that here. So with that addition then, I would like to ask everyone please to mute your line unless you have the floor. Someone has an open line with a lot of noise in the background.
They're all clapping.
No news is good news.
We're going to wait, continue with this meeting until someone has the respect for the rest of the meeting enough to mute their line.
Can you mute everybody at once?
I don't have that.
We can send that to everybody.
Right. We would need a tech support present at the meeting to do that. Fred used to be available for that. I'm not in a position to know who that is. We can go down through the roll and ask. Do we need to go down through the roll to identify who that is? Evidently not. Okay. Good.
Sounds like they're muted.
So now we can continue. Then is there any opposition to adopting the agenda as approved? Or excuse me, the agenda as amended? Hearing no opposition, the agenda is adopted and we'll proceed to Stephanie's update and question and answer. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you. We were able to, on May 8th, submit the application to CPB. So they responded that they had received the application and were able to download all of the attachments and exhibits to that, and that they will be getting back to us prior to October with any sort of questions or clarifications that they have. So I will keep everybody updated as we move along with that. One of the positive things about going through the application process was that I've been able to create a nice to-do list of things that we need to put into place that we either didn't have or were difficult to try to get together. You know, simple things like, you know, floor plans of all of the stations, good photographs of the, you know, every room within the station, grids, you know, of all the programming with descriptions of everything, resumes of every employee and programmer, certain things that we should have probably been able to have easier access to, and certain things that we just, you know, as I said, now we'll know what we need to kind of work on to get everything in order. And a lot of the information and things that they requested are actually information and things that are requested in general from foundations, and even some major donors when you apply for, you know, ask for funds or fill out applications. So it will be a great opportunity as we move forward, that you know, we know what it is that we need to put together. So I will keep everybody posted on anything that I hear from them. We have reached out to, you know, quite a few major donors for certain specific things. We have had some donors that have been interested in certain items or things that they would be interested in helping us relieve the cost of some bills. We've had some donors step up and pay for some of the outstanding aged payables with some of our vendors, so we appreciate that. We've had major donors that are reaching out to some of the local nonprofits that they work with or other local community businesses that share our same values and mission to talk about the possibility of partnerships and sponsorship opportunities where, you know, we can promote some of their programs, meaning, you know, if it's a concert or something in town and, you know, then they go ahead and we can give them a little shout out on our websites or newsletters about events that a nonprofit might be holding or a business might be doing. So, you know, some of the stations already have been doing some forms of underwriting like that. WBAI is getting some funding that's coming in through the City of New York and the county as well to run some PSAs, and KPFK also gets support through some of the local art venues and music venues as well. And some of those we can segue also into premiums that are given to us that we can then use as thank you gifts. So we're working on that and rolling it out and sharing some of the same information. I know I created a one sheet for the music producer at KPFK that they were doing in partnership for an in-kind gift from a local event where we could get a booth for this local nonprofit biking event and walking event. And then we in turn could help, you know, would promote that event. So we have created a one sheet with some of those underwriting costs, and we're utilizing that with some work over at WBAI as well. We are in the process of hopefully starting our audit pretty soon. I know that's not really development task force, but we do need to get those audits done in order for us to continue to ask for funds from different foundations or organizations. So we have our audit firm come confirmed, but we're just waiting for funding to come in to be able to pay them to get that audit going. In the meantime, we have asked for an extension with the state of California because we need to have it done before June 30th, and that's just the timeline set out by the state of California. So we've requested an extension for that, and they should be getting back to us, they said, within 30 to 60 days, and we're almost at the end of that 60-day mark. So hopefully they'll be getting back to us soon, but I'm also sending them emails and snail mail and pinging them just so they can remind them that we have work that needs to be done. The archive did a national fundraiser earlier in the month. They didn't have all of the stations participate, so they didn't raise quite as much as they needed to raise, but they did raise $15,000, and that was enough to be able to cover some of their outstanding bills, which is very slight, but they were also able to cover at least 2 months of their employee payroll and also their health benefits. So they were pleased with that, but with a couple of last-minute changes with some of the scheduling, but they were very appreciative of those stations that did participate. Does anybody have any questions?
Pam McCord is back.
Steve Rogers.
Okay, hang on. I've got Dan and Steve. Anybody else at the moment?
Rosalie.
Rosalie. Kim. Thank you.
And then Kim.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Stephanie, does the 5 months of oversight by the CPV before they get back to us an average amount of time, or do you see it as extra scrutiny or what?
That's just their average time. Everybody's due date was May 5th, and they will make their announcements in October. So that was just a generic email response that was given back, generic to the extent that you know, maybe they refer to it by name, and I was able to get, because the attachments were too large or the exhibits were too large to attach to an email, so they needed to be put into a WeTransfer file, and then they could download all of those. So they did send confirmation with that. And I had a couple of questions as well, even with the report, in some of the attachments and such. So they will be responding. The positive thing is that we do have a name that now is connected to us that's been assigned to us to review that grant. But the general response is that there's a lot of time that they give to all applicants.
Thank you.
I'm going to interrupt long enough to ask somebody, whoever's doing dishes and has their line open, please mute your phone so the rest of us can hear the meeting.
And your tea kettle.
Yeah, and the tea kettle. Thank you. So next up is Steve.
Thank you. Stephanie, this has been a big issue about getting the financial statements, getting them professionally put together, and it seems like we've finally gotten to the point where we're kind of getting them reasonably up to date. And I'm wondering if that, you know, having the financial statements now, if that's loosened up any nonprofit cash flows to us. You mentioned a couple of nonprofits, I think, that were able to give us money now. I just, whatever you can on that sort of horizon there, do we have any hope? Is it working out any? That makes sense.
Well, yes, it does make sense. Our financial statements, you know, I don't know if that's really been a hindrance. What really kind of is a hindrance when speaking with, you know, just personally when I've been speaking with donors or foundations, is just trying to convince them that we will be good stewards of their funds. And, you know, as we've said many times before, we are an asset-rich but cash-poor organization. So, when I do talk with foundations or major donors about our financials, we have, you know, $2.5 million loan, another $2 million loan over roughly, you know, $1.8 to $2.1 million in aged payables. So when speaking with organizations and foundations, we have to show and prove to them that we are making a concerted effort to decrease the amount of aged payables that we have, that we are making an effort to work with our vendors, some who haven't been paid in years, and that we are doing everything we possibly can as an organization to help rebuild that faith. So, again, there are a lot of the point now is that I am in contact with foundations and donors in more in a cultivation phase, meaning that I'm letting them know what we're doing. I'm letting them know of the efforts that we are doing to, you know, increase revenue with house parties, with underwriting, with, you know, reaching out to local governments for support or, you know, government agencies, meaning, you know, like the New York Department of Health and things like that. You know, that we are making an effort to work with our vendors to try to negotiate payment plans or to try to negotiate a lesser amount of what, you know, what we need, what we're owing them and what we pay, how we're looking to rebuild and help our infrastructure of increasing social media presence, creating a, you know, consistent messaging when we're talking about Pacifica across the board, trying to reach out to our communities and trying to, you know, work on our programming so that we are the voice of the communities and we're listening to them and we're you know, trying to realize what it is that our communities want to hear, and are we localizing our programming rather than just kind of going on the air and talking to ourselves. It's what a major donor that I had a meeting with today. They've been listening to the station for quite a few years. He said often it just sounds like Pacifica is just talking to themselves and kind of telling the audience what they want to say to each other and maybe not truly being the voice of the community. So it's interesting to hear things from outsiders, and I never share, you know, anything that they're not familiar with, maybe the political issues or things that we may see in our emails all the time. They're really just there as a listener, or I engage them to start listening. And I've had donors that get in on meeting committees. So it's
really kind
of a slow process.
That's really an important expectation right there, Stephanie, if I may interrupt you for a second. Is that this major donor that you're trying to develop is looking at us and saying it sounds like we're talking to ourselves. And I can understand what they mean by that. What can we do? I know this is a programming thing, but, you know, programming is what leads to the cash flow. But what can we do to make people feel like that we're talking to the issues that they're concerned about, especially well-heeled, asset-rich individuals that share a more progressive viewpoint and not one of accumulating more wealth? Is there some topics that we could be addressing better? Is there a tone that we should be taking better? What can we do to win back these customers, essentially? I know it's thanks for your good work, by the way. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's a very slow process because it is the possibility, and I'm kind of vague here, but what we really need to do is take a look at the programming that we already have and really evaluate it. And I know that we have some general managers that are doing that and, you know, that are asking the programmers to, you know, not re-pitch your program to me, you know, but take a good look at it. Sit back and take a good look at it. Are you still reaching the audience? You know, what is the audience that you think you are reaching? Are you reaching that audience? What could be changed that can bring in a newer audience? I was on a CAP call recently, and there was a young woman on it on the call that was 23. And, you know, she was saying that there's no, it's great she's on the CAP. She's on the KPFK CAP. But she was saying there's her voice, not her actually, but the voice of that age, it's not on the air. People aren't hearing themselves. And so there's many, many steps that need to be taken. But I think the biggest thing that we need to do is really take an active look at the programming that we have. And again, are we the voice of the community, or are we telling the community what we think they need to hear? And, you know, maybe we need to be more localized. Are we informing the community about things that are happening in their community, but at the same time, you know, having the programs? What the person said was that they heard a few things about, you know, some music and just kind of random programming, and then Democracy Now! Came on. And so then they were, you know, it was like, okay, now it kind of sounds like Pacifica's done what we can politically, and then we just go back to just kind of this random mix of programming that really didn't appear to be the voice of the community. So, but again, that's just one person's opinion, you know, but I think that we just really need to start by taking a close.
Well, that's Stephanie, indeed, that's a core issue is the programming here. And for the 7 years that I've been involved here, there's been very little change. I mean, Lydia Brazón put in that Spanish block of programming, and it's just stayed in place, not for any particular good reason. Or as much as I enjoyed Roy Tuckman and Roy of Hollywood, you know, 40-some years, that's pretty entrenched. And it seems like, and you know, I'm sorry for his passing away, but it's an opportunity to really develop that time block and maybe bring in post-midnight programming, maybe like Coast to Coast, where we're dealing with things that that people don't hear about a lot elsewhere, and that might be a draw also. But that's it. The program is a key issue. The financial statements are a key issue. Thank you, Stephanie, for your good work to getting those key issues hopefully addressed. But we all have to take this in hand and do something about both of them. Thanks.
Next up is Rosalie.
Yes, Stephanie, I wanted to know what the status of the property, the KPFK property, the sale of it is.
Stephanie? Are you muted? We don't hear you. Stephanie? I don't know.
Yeah,
we're not here. Hello?
Well, this is Michael Novick. I could say I'm not. I you know, if you can't see on the dashboard who's on or not, or if Stephanie is there still or not, I don't know.
Right.
But there was a potential buyer. They wanted a cut in the purchase price because they wanted to do major renovations in the building. They didn't actually want the studios that we have there. And they reached the limit of what their credit line was to make the purchase and wanted to reduce the purchase price to accommodate the renovations, and Pacifica, you know, declined at that point, and it fell out of escrow. So it's listed again, and you know, there have been, I think there was an appointment with somebody that wasn't kept. My understanding is that they are looking for still the potential of finding somebody that could pick up the FJC loan and maybe some additional money, whether that involves the building or not, to try to, you know, adjust the debt load that we're facing and pay off some of the aged payables. And so if we have to move, the money would go into the move. If we don't have to move, some of that money could go into upgrading technology. I would just comment myself. I know I've seen a lot of comments that say we're somehow selling the building or putting the building up for less than it's worth, and it doesn't seem to me that's the case, because if we were, given the nature of the LA real estate market, I think we'd be having to beat off potential buyers with a stick. And the fact that we're not getting a lot of bids at the, you know, roughly $5 million says that $5 million is, you know, about what it's worth. So, you know, I don't think nobody's giving it away at this point. And at the moment, I'm not aware that there's an active offer from anywhere.
I'm back. Sorry about that. Don't know quite what happened. I'm yakking away to silence. Michael is right. We somebody came in with a bid that was lower than what was asked for, and it's difficult to accept something with a building that is lower than that. You know, in my heart of hearts, I don't want to have to sell an asset that we have. Particularly property in Los Angeles, you know, you just don't want to do that. I would rather be able to revamp, you know, make any sort of improvements and repairs to the building ourselves, and then, you know, move the studio, move everybody downstairs, set the archives upstairs, and then rent out the building and turn it into a revenue stream.
I'm going to interrupt.
You know, Michael,
sorry, I'm going to interrupt long enough to ask, who has their line open? Where is all that noise coming from? Which is louder than the actual speaker. And please, could you, evidently someone knows who they are and the noise has stopped. So thank you for that. And we'll continue now with the meeting. Go ahead, Stephanie.
You know, and Michael is correct, is that we still are looking for individuals who might be interested in buying the building themselves. I mean, another person that I was meeting with today, that's what we were talking about. is just, you know, would they be interested in purchasing the building or giving us a loan to, you know, pay off the FJC loan with some extra money on the side so we can do what we need to do to build up our infrastructure, build up our, you know, our staffing needs, pay off our aged payables, if not all of them, at least make a significant dent to show good faith. You know, so we're working, you know, we're working on it. We definitely are working on it. Is it fast enough? No. You know, but we're doing everything we can.
So are you saying that you're trying to stave off the sale of the building by, you know, in a variety of ways?
Oh, very much so. I've been trying to stave off the sale of the building prior to it even, you know, being listed. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to sell a property, but we're in a point where we have everything's just kind of the perfect storm at this point where there's aged payables that they just don't want to wait anymore, you know, to be paid. We haven't paid the interest payment in on the FJC loan, and we have another that was due in March, and we have another payment coming up in June. You know, we have the EIDL loan. The first payment for the EIDL loan is due tomorrow. We don't have it. You know, so everything is just kind of coming to fruition all at the same time. And it isn't that all of a sudden this was a surprise. People have known that bills were due. Vendors will only take, you know, their loss, a write-off of their loss for so long. And it's just, again, kind of at a point that it's all coming to a head at the same time.
Thank you.
I guess what I want to ask is that, you know, Stephanie, you have been in this position for more than a year. I guess you were hired a year ago, February. When you were hired, did you realize the status of the financial status of the build of the of Pacifica, and what were you thinking at that time to try to address our financial needs? And what have you done since then, you personally, with your, you know, your experience and knowledge, what have you done to really address the financial needs of Pacifica?
You know, I want to intervene here because this line of questioning has been repeated,
Kim,
on this meeting, and it's out of order.
Kim?
Yes, Beth.
You're out of order. Kim? You are out of order. It's Rose's turn to speak.
That's fine.
Up next. You will have your chance to speak.
No, I want to. This is not an inquisition of what Stephanie has done for the last year. Okay? She was, you know, I mean, it's just not. And this is not what this development task force is supposed to do. Grill the executive director about. And we have heard this. Month after month here. What, Beth? I'm saying I object to this question.
Kim, you're out of order.
So what?
It's creating a hostile workplace for our executive director. I am making a point.
Please address my issue.
I'm going to get, before the next meeting comes up, I commit to getting the screen for determining who's on the call and who can be heard and how to mute
people
who interrupt or people who make noises and don't stop. This is out of order. Everyone has a chance to have their questions asked and answered. You have your turn coming up, Kim.
You have your agenda item coming up.
The committee will respect that, and I expect you to respect the task force and the rest of us as we proceed with the meeting.
I think the point's been made. Shall we go on? And I think that's playing with a toy.
Who is that? What?
I think it's a child in the background playing with toys. But I think you've made your point, and move on.
Yes, if that line were muted, none of us would have to guess what it is. Thank you. Yes, we will move on. Rosalie was in the middle of her question.
So, I mean, I guess I've stated it. I mean, I think, Stephanie, in one of your early on, the task force had a meeting where we identified potential revenue streams, and I was very impressed with you outlining what those revenue streams were and what the ways in which we can pursue them and what were the pluses, what were the minuses. So I felt very confident that you had the knowledge to really get us through this this financial need that Pacifica had. And so I just want to know what had transpired over the year. And I'm saying this as a friendly question, not interrogation.
When I started with the organization, as with any sort of position, I did my due diligence in looking through the 990s, which are the taxes that nonprofits file every year, went back at least 8 years with that. I read through the audited financial statements. The company as a whole doesn't look incredibly bad when you look through the taxes and the audited financial statements. Every single one has a statement from the auditor that basically says that continuing moving forward, the company does not have very stable, financial stability, and gave great outlines of things that needed to be done. What I didn't have access to, in all honesty, when I started the job, was the monthly consolidated financials or the most recent financial statements that gave a quick breakdown of what the revenue and the ongoing debt. So the ongoing debt, honestly, was a surprise. I knew that there was a loan that was outstanding, that I questioned that during my interview process, and they said that the due date for that balloon payment had been extended, which it had. Once coming aboard and then realizing that there was two very large debts, close to, as I just said, $4.2, $4.5 million, and the amount of aged payables was a little overwhelming. Because that is quite a bit of money that is owed that, in the view of a potential foundation or a major donor, does show that we are not the stewards of our funding. So while introducing a lot of donors to Pacifica and Pacifica's mission and what Pacifica does, that has been a ongoing process of finding new donors or prospects that we have, working with them to introduce them to Pacifica, and trying to convince them that by giving us money, we will put it to good use. One of the things that a lot of donors and foundations have issues with is that even if we give you $500,000, that's a very small dent into what can be any sort of long-term stability with our gift moving forward when you have debt that's so incredible. So even if you got a $500,000 gift, that still leaves you with $4.2 million in loans and maybe bring our aged payables down to $1.5 million, which doesn't create any long-term sustainability. A lot of foundations, when you're asking them for money, they want to know what's going to happen if we don't give you that money next year. Can that program still sustain itself? We don't want to be the only donor that's keeping your program, meaning or your foundation, alive. So what is going to be that long-term sustainability? And so then you have to have a series of donors in order to put into that, to show that, well, if we lose your money, this is what we're doing to keep ourselves moving forward. Well, one of the things that we're unable to do as we're moving forward is that because we are community-based, obviously, and community-supported, we don't have that funding that is necessary to support the funds that we need. So we don't have the listener base to support Pacifica, and we need that listener base to raise those funds. So it's kind of a catch-22 here. So in the list of items, for example, that the development committee has come up with is grow listenership. That's very broad and very vague, and grow membership, grow donations, and all of that makes perfect sense. But in order to grow our listenership, we then have to focus on the outreach that we need to do within the communities. We need to focus on the programming, because what we're doing isn't working as far as reaching and growing our membership base. As far as growing our major donors, I have sent out close to $4.2 million in asks. And my general return rate,
because I've been in the nonprofit world for about 35 years, is about 50 to 70%. So average around 65%. This is the first place that I have ever been, and I've been reaching out to some of the same donors. They've introduced me to new donors. I've reached out to some strong foundations that normally have always given in the past, and they give to an organization. They don't give to the person, but you maintain those relationships if you move from one foundation to another. And they've all said the same thing. It's like, we have to see that there's forward movement in what you need to do to bring down your debt in loans and bring down your debt with your vendors. Show that you respect your vendors and the people that are doing work for you. So when you start making progress that in that direction, then come back to us and ask for funds. So in the meantime, what I'm doing is sending them updates on what we're doing, sending them updates on, you know, how we're trying to increase our listenership, how we're trying to reach out to the community, you know, and so that's what we need. That's what we're doing as far as building up the donor base. One thing, and the listenership, what also needs to be taken in consideration is that there's more to being the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation than just raising funds. So we have, you know, personnel issues to contend with. We have, you know, insurance issues, banking issues, and issues not in a bad way, but the day-to-day operations of running an organization also falls on the executive director. And so the national office, basically, of the day-to-day operations consists of myself, who also serves as an HR capacity, and Markeisha, who's our business manager. And then we have John Amelia, who does our FCC compliance and a lot of the logistical issues dealing with the tower or with phone systems or with IT. So it's a large foundation with a lot of employees, with a lot of moving parts. Also throw in it's the five stations, the affiliates, and the archives. And there's a lot of income coming in, expenses going out. So you have those day-to-day operations with basically a staff of three. So that's not an excuse, but there's a lot of moving parts. So even though, excuse me, I continue to reach out to these foundations, donors, and organizations, it's a lot of cultivation and stewardship and proof that we're doing what we need to do as a foundation to create long-term sustainability to just keep the foundation running on a regular basis. I don't know. I mean, what other questions do you have?
Well, I think you... it was the
thank
beginning.
You, Rosalie. Kim will be next. I want to ask if there are others who want to get on the stack now. I'll put myself on the stack. And who else after that?
And Bruce to the stack.
Bruce, thank you.
Steve to the stack, please. Steve.
Steve, okay. You'll be after Bruce. Anybody else in a moment?
Yes, this is Jonathan. I'd like to be put on the stack. Jonathan Markowitz, thank you.
Thank you. You'll be after Steve. And I'll mark you present. So Kim is next, and I'll be after that. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. Well, you know, what Stephanie just talked about, we have heard on this, I've heard on this little group, you know, multiple times. And I, as treasurer, have said the same thing. We're not, people are not out there begging to support us because we're really, we're kind of messy. And, you know, I mean, I can speak for KPFK as at one time, we had a budget of $3.5 million. We'll be lucky if we have a $1 million budget this year. You know, there's been a lot of degradation of KPFK particularly, but some of the other stations as well. And the other thing, we had 2 years of Lydia Brazan as the IED. What she did was she got PPP money for 2 years in a row, and right before she left, she got this $2 million EIDL loan. And for those 2 years, there was absolutely no, I mean, everybody went to sleep because, you know, we were sort of making ends meet, and nobody was addressing the operational deficits that we were, in fact, running, that I tried to get people to pay attention to. So Stephanie got hit with a lot more than she could have possibly known. The doo-doo hit the fan after the government monies ran out, and we're just left with the organizational problems of these stations. And I just want to address one thing with Steve, particularly about Roy's show. Roy had a higher listenership than Coast to Coast, Steve, got to tell you. You want alternate stuff? Yeah, there are Coast to Coast people who like that kind of alternate stuff, but there were plenty of people, or more people, in the midnight hours who liked Roy's alternate stuff. And everyone I have spoken to, including myself, who was a devoted Roy listener, is very upset at the nature of the changes. They may seem like similar to somebody that hasn't really listened, but it's going to destabilize that time. And I think we can look to a lot less listener support none listener support in those hours, unfortunately. And I would suggest to the people here that in terms of raising money, you would take a look at your own station's fundraising committees, if they have them, or some of the stations have development committees, and how are they doing? What are they producing? Those are the issues that we really should be kind of taking a look at. What are all these people who are on these boards actually doing? And the whole issue of programming is bigger than Stephanie or anyone else can fix at this point. It is my opinion that professionals do have knowledge in this area that is different than what we are having right now. And again, we have a programming oversight committee, and that would be an area that we should be looking at hard data to figure out what programs basically have no listener support and be questioning those. I mean, that's a good place to start. And what shows do or did have listener support, and how to, emulate success. And I would also ask, and this is another hard thing to do, but people, throw around the word community, the community. Well, there are many, many communities in the 6 or 7 counties that KPFK signal reaches. I mean, so, I'm not sure what people mean when they talk about the community. I have an idea of what that is, but like I said, there are many other kinds of communities than I think people speak about when they use that word. I mean, there's an arts community. There's a music community. There we, put back on this bike riding program, which was a popular program. It was taken off the air for a number of years, and now it's on a time that, I don't even know if anybody even knows it's there. It's raised no money. But that is a big community in L.A. I mean, it may be too late because they've been doing a podcast for so long that people have no reason to start tuning into our station. But that is a viable kind of niche community that we should really that should be popular. But there are many other communities that we're not looking at because they're not individuals who are making these decisions, you know, choices. And I'm going to get into a little, you know, difficult topic here, but the cab, KPFK's cab, I have issues with. I went to the meeting last time.
Kim, I'm going to interrupt you for a second to point out that the agenda item is Stephanie's update.
I understand that.
And so that the agenda item is not the cab.
Okay, I understand.
That we can discuss that, or that we can put that on an agenda for an appropriate meeting, and go into that if you want. But that's not Stephanie's purview. And we are lucky enough to have the executive director with us here now. And so, and you've had at least as much time as anybody else, and we have a staff of other people. So if you have other questions for the executive director, that would be welcome and appropriate. And then it's time to wind up and move on to other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. But I'm going to finish. I bring the cab up because we just applied to CPB.
This is why I'm going to get the capacity to mute.
Oh,
the ground rules say stick to the agenda.
ED's purview, which is the CPB application, Beth.
Which has already been turned in for the year, Kim.
I understand.
Just let it go. It's not worth it.
I object to the censorship under the reasons Beth gave. I understand that Dan McCrory is on this call, but it is a problem, and it's something the stations and the ED needs to make sure the GMs are having functional cabs. Okay?
This is Beth? Still not on the agenda. And you've had more time than anyone else, and it's time to provide time to the rest of the people on the staff.
Time's up.
Thank you. And in fact, I'm next on the stack. First, I've been on the stack. Following me, there will be Bruce, Steve, Jonathan, and Michael. Stephanie, thank you for being here today. I wanted to ask more about the PRA fund drive. Specifically, I guess I was caught off guard by the fact that there was an emergency fund drive called on very short notice, again, and it's this far, I've seen, you know, a series of these now, and it concerns me that we're not anticipating our needs, farther down the line than this so that we can plan, and it concerns me too that the archive seems to react to our financial predicament only when it comes, when their own payroll comes into question, and really relax that concern again as soon as they know their payroll is covered. And that's a concern because the ongoing financial predicament of Pacifica is pretty comprehensive and isn't alleviated by one day of emergency fund drive. And I think this wouldn't be the day to talk about it, but at some point I think we need to discuss the possibility of a different business model for the PRA. But just going forward, what are we doing to anticipate future needs so that we don't find ourselves again in a sudden seat of the pants emergency PRA fund drive? And can we be assured of new and appropriate premiums, perhaps with a greater spread between price points so that entry level is not so dear. That's a whole long list of questions. I'm sorry. Start wherever you want. Thank you.
We are already investigating, and we have for a while, of figuring out a new business model for the archives, and that will be reflective as we work on their budget for this upcoming fiscal year. The archives, usually what happens is that they get payments from from different stations, either in the form of central services, or if a station is using archival material as a premium, they will pay for the services obviously very discounted, but they will pay for the cost of the thumb drives or the transferring or anything that they need. That's anticipated that those payments will be made. And often, even though stations don't make payments to WPFW or KPFT and the affiliates make central service payments, but the other stations are not, but a lot of them make central service payments to the archives, they're much less. But over the span of the last few months, the archives have not been getting their central service payments as well. So whereas it's anticipated that they would receive funding from the bills that they may send or the invoices that they may send to a station that is using their product as a premium, or if they have anticipated that they will be receiving a central service payment, when that doesn't hit, then all of a sudden, now we're not going to be making payroll, or we're not going to be making our, health benefit payments. The original date for the archives fund drive was set at a specific time, and then it was moved, and some of those stations had already preempted programming for that original date, and so they weren't able to then switch it back to where it was. So that's why I believe that there was some confusion with that. The archive does on a regular basis request funding for the digitization of some of their products. We've been working on some grants for that. We've also been in discussion recently with an organization that was recommended by our call center that is also working on the digitization and hosting of those of the premiums. So when the stations are offering archival material as premiums, they don't actually have to have a physical thumb drive that they can send out, but the people can, people will get a code, and then they have the option of downloading that directly, and that each person would have an individualized code. And then that would save on funding as well and on the expense of using those archival materials. The, what else did you ask? The business model? Yeah, because we need to figure out a way to bring in revenue rather than strictly working on central service payments, because that's not happening. And what else did you ask? There's something else you asked that I thought I had. I don't remember what else you asked. Sorry.
Well, I thank you for this much. I'm glad to. I think we need to start some new thinking along these lines, and I'm glad to see you've already been there, and I'd be happy to talk with you further about it later. So thank you, and I'll yield the floor to the next on the stack, who would be Bruce. Thank you. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo what Kim, Stephanie took the job knowing that there were alligators in the swamp, and when she got to the edge of the swamp, she looked out with a flashlight, and all she could see was double sets of eyes. So, I mean, stuff like $70,000 of credit card debt at one station, there's no one knew about $30,000 worth of credit card debt. Another station, no one knew about. No such thing as a file holder, file cabinet with all the contents, like big long list. And I especially agree with Kim about, the 2 years of PPP money and idle money, where we just kind of said, oh, okay, payroll's taken care of, and went back to sleep for 2 years. I mean, we had 2 years to straighten out the ship, and basically everybody just said, we got payroll for next month, so yeah, we're fine, and blew through 2 years of an opportunity to turn things around. And then as far as the donors and the foundations go, I'm surprised they even, you know, take lunch with her. You know, the foundation is such a basket case. Now, the big donor that sat down with you and said, yeah, well, no. It just sounds like the same. He's absolutely right. And I would go back and ask him, well, you know, what would you like to hear and what would you do? As far as the young lady's concerned, our young people so far, and Lisa and Zoe, and, you know, they both said, well, I want to hear young boys on the radio. I got one that's a young person, somebody my age, and I don't hear any young voices, and there aren't any. So that's probably the simplest thing that we can do is get some young voices on the radio or tell some of the old farts that they need to co-host and put a young person on with them so that the young people hear some young voices. Now, on the LSB meeting, the KBFK LSB meeting, some of this guy named Patrick, who's a big union guy, I guess, and he said, you know, that if we put on some labor shows, especially with all the ferment in the labor movement, the labor people would pile in and they would probably support it. So I think that's an opportunity. And then as far as the donors go, maybe what you can do is ask them for restricted grants where I'm going to give you money for equipment for the news people, young news people out in the field, or I'm going to give you money for a certain thing or pay a certain bill. And they might be open to doing that. So I think that's about it. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Stephanie, did you want to respond?
We have had, fortunately, a donor that did come forward and they paid for the allegiance bill at WBAI. That was a huge plus. I'm now trying to talk them into paying off the allegiance bills at some of the other stations as well. And as far as the young voices, you know, yeah, I mean, I would love to hear a program that has multi-generations all on the air talking about things. I mean, I have children that range from 21 to 32, and just the conversations that they have with me and they have with my mother, who's in her late 80s, you know, it's a whole different world out there. And to be able to hear the American dream isn't what it was when my grandmother, you know, graduated from college, or, you know, different things that she went through, and to just get that even inspirational conversation. So, you know, I mean, again, that may be something that would be a great way to get some of these other topics on the air and, you know, advice from older generations on how younger generations are looking for work, or younger generations explaining to the older generations how, again, things aren't quite the same. So, yeah, those are great things that I would love to be able to get on the air, but we have to be able to have, you know, the stations being willing to find the talent and make room for different programming on the stations. And that may mean having to get rid of some other programs or relocating them to just be as a podcast or, you know, something. So, but, you know, that's up to the individual stations to make those decisions, up to the local programming committees to make those decisions, and for individuals to trust the station's general managers and the program directors to make those decisions, rather than one slight change of a grid and then, you know, onslaught of 50 to 100 emails of, you know, how terrible a decision was. So, you know, whatever we're doing now isn't working 100%, so changes have to be made.
Thank you, Stephanie. Next up is Steve. Steve, you have the floor.
It seems pretty clear that the task ahead of us is creating cash flow streams of some sort. And I'd like us all to own that as part of this development committee. That's solely our focus, is to develop cash streams. And we're not doing that now because I think there's an underlying attitude that's been fulfilled many times that somehow, out of nowhere, it'll work its way out. It's like Deus Ex Machina in Greek tragedy. all of a sudden the god appears on a rooftop, and if it's oodles of gold you need, he has it. Well, we're not, you know, we keep waiting for this, and the EIDL loans and the PPP loans have given us that margin of safety again. But the one thing that will sustain a radio station, much less a radio network, is listeners. And I think it's pretty obvious that we are not appealing to them sufficiently. Now, we're certainly missing a lot of younger millennials, Gen Z, and whatever, who are not quite owning Pacifica. It's something that's been from a baby boom and before sort of ownership, and Generation X to a degree, too. So I think we might really need professional evaluation and consulting from radio station pros that can tell us, you know, give us an idea how to adjust our programming so that we're broadcasting the right thing at the right time to the right audience. But overall, I think what we're missing, and I've made this point many times, obviously not to any real success, but we've got to see and catch the wave of the coming generational event. We did that with the beatnik era in the 50s and the hippie era and New Age and such. And now I think we have to look at the major issue of our time, and that's environmental degradation. And I would like to see us and see Pacifica leading the charge on making our damnedest efforts of improving our environmental condition. You know, maybe we can't get it all back, but I can't think of a better thing to devote our life to. And I think that we can bring in some really well-heeled people that share our values like that, want us to be drumming the drum beat of environmental improvement across this country and across the world, and we could pull them in with that vision of the future. So if we can own that vision our own selves and want to promote that to others, I think it could be a start to open up a cash flow that hopefully will become a stream that will sustain us. I don't think we can go to well-heeled people, hat in hand, say, well, we finally getting our financial statements out, have some faith in us, and by the way, what would you like to hear? I think we have to go the more professional approach and ask them to join in a very worthy cause. And I think that has elements of success for us. Anyway, that's enough of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Stephanie, did you want to respond? Or shall we go on to Jonathan?
No, he makes very valid points. You can move on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, Jonathan, you're up next.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take a little different approach here in regards to trying to get people to understand that there are distinctly different facets which Pacifica has ended up in this situation financially, which are not necessarily relative to each other. But I would say the most significant thing over the last 10, 15 years, say 15 to 20 years, is about the right time period of the rise of social media. So if we're talking about younger people who don't have, I'm not familiar with all these terms of these different generations, although I am definitely a baby boomer on the later end of the scale. I would say the preponderance of the young people that accepting the notion that we need to appeal to younger generation voices as well as the issues that they're concerned about. I think one of the problems in making such a statement is to make an assumption about what it is that these portions of our society at large are actually interested in. And again, society is quite a bit different than it was when we were all growing up or when we were going through our young period, teenage years, and 20s and even 30s. So, in other words, the world has changed, especially this country has changed radically. Not necessarily for the better, okay? And what role social media has played. So taking social media alone, Jim Dingaman has been harping on this for at least a year straight, and he's correct about this. However, here's what I recommend. I recommend that we need to find some individual donors, not only possibly save this AFK building, which is really can't be assessed in terms of its actual value. We all know here in LA, we all know how important this building is and how difficult it would be to replace it. Reality is the market has completely crashed. So setting the issue of how we're going to pay for all these stacks of bills that go back years, millions and millions of dollars, not to mention the loans. I actually think that what has to be done is a separate fundraising facet, and that is for people to put some money together so that Pacifica can uniformly, the key is uniform, come up with a plan to social media-ize, if you will, Pacifica's legacy broadcasting signals in two distinct ways. One, to choose and select the best social media platforms which the young people prefer for their on-demand podcasting interests as far as content. The other would be to establish and to set up a fund to pay for live streaming. That is, when I say live stream, I mean simulcasted live streaming over social media platforms 24/7. As I said this on many meetings, Stephanie, you've heard me say this. Other people on this call have heard me say this many times over the last year. I believe this is essential, and I'll tell you why. Pacifica, regardless of what anybody thinks the future of legacy radio is or should be or is, you know, is going to be, most people think that we should just forget about it. I completely disagree. I believe the future is not necessarily knowable in spite of the fact we're facing a fascist onslaught that is unprecedented in history, other than possibly leading up to World War II. Okay, so we're talking about the forces of fascism, the forces of darkness, the totalitarians, however you want to characterize them, fascist or otherwise. We're dealing with something that is... Let me finish my point, Beth. I'm sorry. I'm really going off here, but I want to get back to this.
I'll let you finish in just a moment. I just want to point out that it's 6:51 now, which means we have 9 minutes left.
Okay, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Here's what I recommend.
Still on the stack. Well, let me just point out, Michael's still on the stack. Kim brought an item today,
okay.
And this does not really leave us time to do it justice. I would propose that we make that the central point of business for next month's meeting, if that's agreeable to Kim, so that we can just devote the whole meeting to it. Would that be acceptable, Kim? Is Kim still here?
Yeah, I'm here. You run up a clock, so there's no other, I have no choice, right? So everybody come to the meeting next week with an idea that you can do. That's what this committee is supposed to do, not just, hey, this is a good idea, let's get somebody to do this. What can we as a committee do? I'd like to hear Beth talk about the FEMA emergency planning that, I don't know, she was supposedly know about, for example. And, you know, maybe this committee
I'm sorry. Excuse me. You weren't called upon to keep talking, Kim. There's just a yes or no question.
Thank you, Kim. Kim, I will make it the central agenda item for next month, subject to the approval of the committee then. Thank you.
Okie dokie.
And I'll circulate the mandate of this task force as we got it in advance of that. So First, Jonathan, if you could wrap up, and then because
okay,
Michael's still on the stack. Thank you. Go ahead, Michael.
For Stephanie as well as everybody else who's concerned. I'm saying separate the financial objectives of finding some major HEAL donors specifically to set up a fund to uniformly transform Pacifica into those two facets of social media delivery of Pacifica content from all five signal areas as well as the archives, but primarily in two sections. And so this one being the simulcasted live stream of all of the five signals 24/7 and archiving of each 24-hour period on the same web page, same platform page of the live stream. YouTube is really the best in spite of the cost. It would be a separate fund for the live simulcast live streaming of all five legacy signals. Archiving
Jonathan,
them.
Jonathan, if Michael's going to have any time at all, we need to have
okay, so again, I'm
Thank
proposing
you.
A special project for this purpose, but it has to be done in a uniform manner, the same platforms for all five signal areas. There's got to be a uniform system, otherwise it won't work. And it has to be, the cost of which has to be spread out between the network, but this is going to have to be a separately funded project. And that by doing so, by finally solving this problem, which was not solved 15 years ago at the beginning of social media, then we will be in a position to reach the younger people who do not and will not listen to legacy radio. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Michael, you're up.
So hard to figure out what to concentrate on. I've been there a little over 6 months. I came in basically the start of the fiscal year, a couple of days before October 1st. And I think a couple of times we have had to rely on Pacifica to cover a little bit of a gap in terms of the payroll and the essential bills that we had to meet. But we also fronted $20,000 to help meet payroll at the archives and BAI. So, you know, we're basically at kind of a break-even point on that stuff. When I came in, we did have a conversation with a turnaround expert and talked about identifying target audiences, and that included veterans and labor, educators, and legal people. And so we have started a veterans program. I was accused of putting on militaristic and jingoistic stuff, and it's not if you listen to it. We've been, you know, in touch with Veterans for Peace. We're in touch with veterans dealing with homeless issues. We're in touch with veterans dealing with privatization of the VA and medical care. And it's, you know, it has hit a nerve and tapped into a national audience. We started a labor show. It has. We launched it on May 1st, and it's aired a couple of Fridays now. And we have drawn support from organized labor and from people organizing. We're covering things like the WGA strike. Those will redound to our benefit. We do have to have two factors. One is we have to have off-air fundraising by donor stewardship, just like all other nonprofits do. The business model that we have exhausted, we tapped out. 2008 is when KPFK hit its peak in terms of audience and fundraising, and it's been downhill basically ever since. And as a result, because we maxed our payroll out to the $3 million we were raising at that time, $3.5 million, ever after we were locked into longer and longer fund drives, pitching more and more for product, and we drove our listeners away. So we have recovered from that somewhat by changing the nature of the fund drives. We're still having to do them every other month, but there were very few preemptions. And no big ticket premiums, and no paying consultants to do it. And I think that's been a major positive change. The other aspect, in addition to off-air donor stewardship, which, for example, I did a video that we sent to the sustaining donors. You know, as one example, we've been doing calling, we've been doing email to specific groups of lapsed donors. We'll do more of it. The other thing is we have to do off-air promotion of our audio content. And I agree with Jonathan was saying about social media provision of the content, but we have to do social media promotion and marketing. And I have made some efforts at that. And two places that we're working on that involve joining forces with something called Taproot, which provides pro bono expertise from people who are professionals in various fields for nonprofits. And we're working with them and trying to find a social media audit and a social media marketing campaign that can embrace all the individual efforts that are going on. And the other is around the website. We did have somebody do a user experience, user interface analysis of the website. We're going to use it to try to transform the website into something that's more useful and more user-friendly. But we have to have a major social media campaign, whether it's to get people to dress for radio or to get content on and to get in touch with the people who are providing that content. So one of the things I am trying to work on, and I've had some discussions with a couple of people about, is a podcast review program, because people are listening to podcasts in great numbers. And we've gotten various forms of expertise. The station has signed up with something called CDP, which has access to our Allegiance data and has been analyzing it. We had a sit down with them that Stephanie and I were both on, talking about the opportunities, basically the areas in which we're way behind the average public or community radio station in terms of retention of listeners and retention of funding. So we're working on all that, and I do think that we want to look into, I have put out a request for a show on education. We've put out a request for a show on parenting, because I think young parents in particular are one audience that will bring in a different demographic than we currently have, and I've tried to encourage the Spanish language programmers to do the same. So I'll leave it at that, but I think that we have to understand that we are a nonprofit. We function in the same universe as all the other nonprofits, and because our main product is the content that we air, we still have to find a way to make that fit into the nonprofit model, where people want to see results, people want to see impact, and we have to explain what the impact of Pacifica is. And I think it does speak to the question of the dangers to democracy in the current socioeconomic picture. It does speak to the need for airing the solutions that people are coming up with in a new generation that are different from the old ones, and I think we're trying to do that. So I'll leave it at that. As far as the overnight show, we've kept many of the exact same elements. So I don't know what Kim is talking about. We still have Dave Emery. We still have visionary activists. We still have Sounds True. We're still doing health and holistic health. We're still doing spirituality. We're still doing Alan Watts. I have not seen the need to reproduce on that segment stuff that we're already airing live other times of day that people can access in the archive. So we're not repeating Ralph Nader. We're not repeating Chris Hedges. We're not repeating Richard Wolff. But we're finding other similar material. We're starting to air the Left Business Reserve at Doug Henwood. We're starting to air content from other stations on health, holistic health. So it's not 4 solid hours of Children's Health Defense, for example. And I stand by that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Well, that takes us to 7:01, and that runs us out of our time. Thank you for everyone who took time to come today and to contribute. The next meeting will be Monday, June 26th, same time as ever, 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. And you all know how to reach me in between if you need to. I'll look forward to seeing you again next month, with a focus next month on Kim's proposed discussion of the mandate of this task force. Thank you.